You're listening to audio from Destiny Church. If you would like to check more resources or donate to this ministry, you can download the Destiny Church PH official app or log on to www.destinychurch.ph/give.
But it's really awesome to be here with you guys. It's good to be back in the Philippines. And I was in Davao and went to the hotel there. Pastor Carlo and Chilene was with us. And one of the guys that was just one of the, what was his job before? Yeah, he's like a waiter at the business lounge. And now he's the manager there. So we've been coming a long time. And I saw him there. And he saw me and he recognized me. And I said, oh, so you're running the place now, huh? And he was laughing, you know, and left. And I used to go there a lot. Matter of fact, I used to go there so much that one time they had my luggage and the guy had it on the cart. And we got in the elevator. And I'm standing there and the elevator door closes. And he goes, Pastor, you look like you're getting fat. I said, hey, you don't talk to me like that. You be quiet. Carry my luggage. And so he was just there smiling. Carrying my luggage. You know you're going someplace too much when they start saying things like that to you. But great people there and great people here in Manila. We're happy to be back here. We love you guys. It's awesome to be at Destiny. Destiny's a great place to be. Amen? Yeah. Amen. And so I'm excited to be here and share the word with you. You guys have great pastors. I love your pastors. I've been friends with them. Pastor Carlo was saying 17 years, 18 years maybe since we were like 10 years old. I tell everybody I'm 27. I just look real bad for my age. Hard living. That's what it'll do to you. So straighten up and serve Jesus. You don't want to be 27 with a beard like this. Especially you ladies. It makes it hard to get married. That's funny, huh? I heard a guy say one time that his wife wanted him to cut his beard shorter. He said, only if you shave your mustache. The wife had a mustache. Anyway, that's the end of my jokes. Now I'm going to preach about hell since you don't laugh at my jokes. Yeah, but we love your pastors. It's great to be with them. We've been great friends for a long time. We've had the privilege of serving in ministry and seeing God do incredible things. And we've been through trials and challenges and conquests and victory together and seen literally millions of people saved. That's incredible. It's the greatest life. You can't even imagine how awesome it is to serve Jesus. And so never underestimate your potential or what God could do with you. Commit your life to the Lord today. You have no idea of what he could blow your mind and do things that you would not even dream. Amen. And so the Lord is awesome, and we're all privileged to be here. I'm privileged to be here with you, and I'm excited about the word to share it with you. Somebody's going to get encouraged today in the word. Somebody is going to be glad that you were not in Davao on last Saturday because I was preaching about gossip. You did not want to be in that message, right, Pastor Carlo? People would be crying for sure, right? So be glad that you're here today. Tell the person next to you, I'm glad you came today. Are you ready to get encouraged? All right, come on, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for worship and a time of offering. Thank you for our friends and family. Thank you for Destiny. Lord, we just plead the blood of Jesus over our minds and our hearts today that you would prepare us to receive your word. We are ready to receive it. Help us to transform the way that we think and the way that we live according to your word for your glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, who knows Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1? Who has that verse memorized? Hebrews 11:1, me and Pastor Carlo. Okay, anybody else have Hebrews 11:1? Let me help you out a little bit, ready? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. How many people know it now? Yeah. What's next? The evidence of things. Is this a Christian church? Let's say it together. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Isn't that a great verse? That's a powerful verse. Who knows verse 2? Don't put it on the screen. Who knows verse 2? I called my friends that are pastors and I asked them, I said, what's Hebrews 11:1? They all know. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you put it with verse 7, talking about Noah, not yet seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. They're going to be seen. They just have yet to be seen. But we saw them in faith because we walk by faith, not by sight. And I'm like, wow, that's a good sermon. What's verse 2 say? No one knows verse 2. Because verse 1 is awesome. Verse 2 sounds insignificant. Let me tell you what verse 2 says. By it, say faith.
Faith.
Say faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2, by it, by faith, right? The elders obtained a good testimony. The elders obtained a good report. I always thought that was like awesome, verse 1. Oh yeah, and by it the elders obtained a good report. Okay, so what? That sounds like it's not important, right? But sometimes when things seem out of place in the Bible or the terminology seems strange, I look it up to see what it means. Because sometimes the translation doesn't do it justice. I'm not saying I could translate it better. I'm just saying that I'm missing the meaning because it seems different than how I would say something, right? And so what I found out was that verse 2 is what Hebrews chapter 11 is about. It's not about verse 1. It's about verse 2. Because Hebrews 11 is sometimes called the Hall of Fame of faith. It's the greatest men and women in the Bible who did the greatest exploits and conquests. You know how they did them? By faith. Say by faith.
By faith.
So the whole chapter is about verse 2. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony or a good report. You know how I know the whole chapter is about it? Because verse 39, the second to last verse, put that up there. Put verse 39 up there. It says, and all these, okay, so it lists all the great men and women. Okay, watch, let me help you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Don't get settled in and get comfortable and think, I'm going to listen to this guy talk for an hour. Hurry up. Don't do this. This is going to change your life.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to wait until the end to give you the good part. We are literally 5 minutes from you understanding the entire sermon. I'm going to give you the one thing that I want to say in the next 5 minutes. Don't miss it. Track with me and pay attention. I'm telling you, I've been preaching for 27 years. This verse changed my life. And I'm going to tell you practically how it changed my life. It's not something that I made up. The things that I'm going to tell you, I read in every single commentary that I looked up, and I never heard a sermon preached on it by any pastor at any time, and I don't know how we missed it. So you have to pay attention to this. I promise you this will help you, okay? Okay?
Yeah.
Do you trust me? If in 5 minutes your mind is not blown, your faith is not encouraged, just do social media and don't listen to me the rest of the time. Deal?
Yeah.
Okay. Some of you are like, I'm already on social media. So it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. And then it lists those elders and their great exploits. And then after listing all of them, it says in verse 39, and all of these great people, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. So you see that? The verse is repeated. These great men and women in Hebrews chapter 11, their exploits are sandwiched between having obtained a good testimony by faith. So it's important to understand, what does that mean? Verse 1 is not what chapter 11 is about. Verse 1 is the definition. See, if we're going to talk about something, one of the things we have to do is explain terms before we talk about it. So the writer of Hebrews, we believe to be Paul, starts off by explaining to you what he means by faith, and then he tells you, and it's by faith that these men and women did everything that they did. How many of you want to do something great for God?
Yeah.
It's going to happen by faith. You want to do something incredible for God? It's going to happen by faith. Amen? Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready? All right, here we go. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Verse 39, all these obtained a good testimony. Say testimony.
Testimony.
Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, say by faith.
By faith.
Say by faith.
By faith.
What is a testimony? When you share your testimony, what do you tell? Your story. Right? You tell what? What happened? What's a report? It's what happened. Give us a report. Well, we went there and we saw this and we did that and this is what happened. That's a report, right? So your testimony, get ready, here it comes. I'm telling you, you're going to like this. So a report or a testimony is about something that already happened. Got it? Are you there? Okay, I'm going to read to you from Benson's commentary. And I've made a little note, language updated by Rich Whitmer. That's me. So here we go. Are you ready? By it, the elders, or by faith, our forefathers obtained a good report. They received a good report, or received testimony, check this out, of God's approval of them. By faith, they received a testimony from God that he approved of them. You got to get this. God said, I approve of you. How did they get that approval? By faith. Not by what they did. By faith. How many of you want to be approved by God? It can happen today by faith. Not one day. Not someday, not maybe. It can happen today by faith. And I'm going to tell you how to do it. Listen to this. Implying that God gave a testimony. Not only about them, but to them. Now God told Abram means father. He's old and has no kids. How many people know that's a rough name to have? It's kind of like being 50 years old and your name is Rich. And you're still waiting for the promise. I'm believing that my parents were not joking. They were prophesying. But Abram was old and had no children. His name means father. And God tells Abram, I'm changing your name. Finally. Abraham. Which means exalted father. So he leaves. Guys are like, what's up, Abram? It's not Abram anymore. Finally. Why? God changed my name. Good. What did he change it to? Exalted father. How many kids do you have? None. But Abraham believed God when he promised him. Did you know that? God promised him and he believed him. He received, this is it right here. He received the testimony. By faith, God said, Abram, you are going to be the father of multitudes. And Abram said, I believe you. And God said, man, I approve of you. I saw everything that you did. It was so incredible. You trusted me. You had a son. You followed me in faith. And Abram said, no, you mean I'm going to do those things. And God says, I'm not subject to time. I gave you a promise. You received it. You believed it. I already saw the end. I was already there. I approve of you now because you believed me when I made you the promise. I approve of you. Abram, I approve of you. You are approved. You are the father of nations. You are the father of the faith. Well done, good and faithful servant. How amazing is that? And Abraham said, well, you mean what I'm going to do? And God said, did. No. God, you're telling me what's going to happen. No, I'm giving a report. I'm giving a testimony about what you did when you believed me. You want to be approved by God? Yeah. Believe what he says right now by faith. Amen. You can be approved in a minute. Now watch this. Listen what it says. This is incredible. It says they received his testimony as if it was the things themselves. So God gave them a testimony not only about them, but he gave it to them. Here's my testimony of you. Whoa, that's awesome. That's amazing. And then they received the promise or the testimony as if it were the things themselves. Let me explain it like this. If I tell my son's 16, if I tell my son, I'm going to come pick you up after school today and I'm going to take you to Dairy Queen and we're going to get ice cream. He says, yes. He gets happy right when I tell him. He doesn't wait till it happens to get happy. You know why? Because he believes me. Because I don't lie to him. He knows if I said it, it's going to happen. He's happy now. If his friends say, hey, you want to go play basketball after school? He says, no, my dad is coming to pick me up and I'm going to Dairy Queen. Now, regardless of what their dads do or don't do, my son knows that I do what I say. He already received the promise as if he received what was promised. Are you here? When God promises you something, he's not just making you a promise. He's God. He cannot lie. When he tells you he's going to do something, you need to receive that promise as if you already received what he promised. And the second that you receive it like that, God will start making a testimony about you. He'll start telling you, I approve of you. I bless you. I call you blessed. You did these amazing things. And you'll say, but I didn't do anything yet. Oh, yes, you did. Because by faith, you received the testimony. You changed your mind. You received the promise. And you restructured and ordered your life as if it were already done. That's what you do when you believe it. When you believe it, it changes everything. By faith. You think, I'm going to go and serve God, and when I do some things, maybe he'll like me. Nope. When you believe him, he approves of you. When you believe him, he approves of you. But you can't fake him out. You can't jump up and down in worship and use Christian language. You have to believe him by faith. You have to receive it and say, you told me that. I will base my life on it. I will bet my life on it. I will bank my life on it. I will risk my life for it because I know if you said it, that it's going to happen and I receive it. I'm celebrating now. I'm not waiting. Seeing might be believing for the unbelieving world. But when I receive a promise from God, I already saw it in faith and I'm receiving it now. Amen? Did you get that? So it was by faith, it was the substance of the things that they were hoping for and the evidence of things not seen. Abraham was old, but he kept trusting God because he believed him the first time he told him. How many times have you believed a promise from God and when it doesn't come true, when you haven't received it yet, you get discouraged? We can't get discouraged. I'll give you an example and then I'm going to give you a couple points. My son Levi, do you guys know Levi? Any of you know Levi? Yeah. So Levi got his girlfriend pregnant when he was in high school. And then he dropped out of high school and he got a job and he lived with his girlfriend. How many people know I was mad? I was really mad. And so I was pretty upset with him, but I kept praying and kept praying and kept praying. And we had a hard time in our relationship. And then he started coming to visit sometimes and brought my granddaughter. And that made me happy because I like my granddaughter, but I was mad at my son. So 50-50. So they would come around and then they decided to come to church last year on Easter. So him and his girlfriend and his baby came to church. And at church, they were worshiping like crazy. And we'd been praying for that, huh, Annie? We've been praying for a long time. And something happened in their life. Next thing you know, they both rededicated their life and started living for the Lord. And then they went and got married secretly right away because they didn't want to live in sin. And then his wife now was texting me, asking me for help because they wanted to live for the Lord. And I told Annie, I'm not helping them. I've been praying. Jesus needs to send somebody else. And Annie says, you can't pray. And then when God uses you to answer the prayer, you don't want to do it. I was like, yeah, that's kind of a good point. But I don't want to do it. It's too emotional for me. It's too painful. But you know, it was God answering our prayer. And now 1 year, it's been 1 year just this last Easter. And Levi and Miranda are in the church. Encounters, School of Leaders, and they had 25 young people at their house, at their life group last week. So my son, who was so far away from the Lord, is back serving the Lord and actually a leader in the church. And someone told him, don't go to that church. Your dad will brainwash you. He's going to try to make you be a minister. Oh, yeah. And my son came and told me, Dad, they told me that I don't have to do ministry, that I wasn't made to do ministry. He said, can they tell me that? I said, no. He goes, nobody's going to tell me that. I could do ministry if I want to. I said, all right then. Because that's God's plan. And then I remembered when Levi was a little boy, Mel Tari went to him and got on his knee. We have a picture of this. Held his hand, looked into his eyes, and he said, Levi, you are special. He said, the name Levi is a special name because you have a special way with God and you have a special way with people. And God is going to use you for that. I should have received the promise in faith. And I should have been happy and trusted God even in the trial. But I didn't. I was upset. My emotions were all over the place. I was worried for my son. I was mad. All of the things that were going on in my life. And you know what happened? The promise came true because God is faithful. So why am I telling you that? Why didn't say I'm the example? I'm the example of how not to do it. Because when I got this revelation, I realized I should have received that promise from God as if it already happened. I should have never been discouraged. I should have never been worried. I should have never doubted. Look, when you believe that God gave you a promise, it doesn't make you pray less. It makes you pray more. It doesn't make you care less. I'm not in denial. It makes you care more. What I should have done is received the promise of God as if it were what he had promised. And regardless of what I saw with my eyes, I should have walked by faith, celebrating the promise that God had given me. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So guess what I'm doing that now? I'm doing that with my other kids. Amen? Amen? When they try to act up, I remember the promise. They will all be in ministry. They will all be serving Jesus. In some capacity, they will all preach the gospel. They don't have to be in full-time ministry, but all of my children will proclaim the gospel. That's the promise that God gave me. I received it. I don't get upset now. I trust the Lord. I received that promise. I'm structuring my life according to the promise that God gave me. Now I have peace. I have confidence. Come on, do you want that for your life? Then let's stop worrying and acting like God is going to give it and then not. And then I change my mind. God is not like that. He gave you a promise and he gives you the word because he loves you. Because you're his son or his daughter. And when you get that promise, stop doubting him. Regardless of what we see, say, my God is good and he is faithful. He does everything he says he's going to do and he will never let me down. Amen? Did that help anybody? Okay, I'm done. Let's go get some lunch. I feel obligated to give you some points. I'm like a porcupine. I have a lot of good points. Nobody wants to be around me. Romans 4. Sorry to the slides people. I just changed sermons right in the middle. You're welcome. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 to 21. This will be faster because it's only a few points. The other sermon had 12 points. You don't want 12 points right now. You want 4. Amen? Unless you want 12, I got all day. You guys are like this. He's like, I don't know if he's serious or kidding. I'm not sure. Did you know that I'm internationally funny? Yeah, in case you didn't know, I'm going to inform you. I was in Burma, and there they have so many dialects or languages are hard, and I was preaching to these pastors, and the translator was translating, and he was translating into another language and then another dialect, so it would go slow, so you have to preach like very, you know. So I was preaching, and I told a great joke. Nobody laughed. You want to hear the joke? So He said there was a woman, her husband died. They didn't think that was funny. She went to the funeral home. She saw the body in the casket, and her husband had the wrong suit on. And she looked and saw another casket, and that man had her husband's suit. So she told the funeral director, hey, you put the wrong suit, my husband's suit's on that dead person, you gotta switch it. And he said, okay, ma'am, I'm so sorry, I'll take care of it. And he goes, Harry, change the heads on 2 and 3. See, that's funny. And then it's a lead into leadership starts with the head. That's right. Okay, there's only one problem. That's a Buddhist nation. They don't do funerals. They cremate everyone. So the translator looks at me. I said, did you translate it correctly? Yes. I said, why are they not laughing? He said, it's not funny. And I was thinking, you don't know me. I'm funny. So I noticed when I was talking that if I said, yeah, something, he would go, like when he's saying the word. And I didn't know what that was. So I asked another guy, I said, why does he do that? And he said, oh, in our dialect, that's emphasis. So when you say it's very strong, he go, like that. So the stronger, the longer. I said, oh, okay. Yep. Next time I was preaching, I said, I'm very, 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 very. And the guy's like this, ee. And I said, very, 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 very. He's like, ee. And he goes like this. He goes, ee. I was like, gotcha. Everybody started laughing. I said, I want you to know I am internationally funny. Don't ever say I'm not funny again. So now you know. You have been informed. So I'm going to give you some great points, and you're going to be very, 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 very excited about these points. Yeah, somebody's with me. You got it. Say, by faith. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, talking about Abram. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope. Say, against all hope. Check this out. Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said of him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's good. That's some good scriptures right there. Amen. If you came today and that's all you got, that's worth coming right there. It's God himself that faith holds on to. He's the God who calls things which are not as though they were. Did you get that? Our God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John says that he spoke everything into existence. Hebrews 11 also says that the world was framed by his words. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. All things were made by him that were made, nothing that was made without him. Right? He's the light that came into the world, and the darkness comprehended it not. And so what does that mean? It's paralleling with Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? The earth was dark and void and without form and chaos. And it says, and the Lord said, let there be light. And so that's paralleling with John. You see that? He's the creator. Jesus is the creator. And how does he create? He calls those things that are not as though they are. Let me put it like this. He speaks to nothing and nothing obeys him and becomes something. That's the God we serve. Man, I don't know if God can help me out with my problem. Hold on, bro. He spoke to nothing. And nothing became something. It's like when the scientists challenged the Lord. And they said, we can make a better man than you. And the Lord said, okay, no problem. So he showed up and they were at the beach. And they said, okay, ready, go. And so God started putting the dirt together, right? Because we're made of what? The dust of the earth, right? So God started doing that. And the scientists, they started doing it too. And God said, no, 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 stop. Get your own dirt. See, they're not like God because they're making something out of something that was made. Our God makes something out of nothing. He stretched out nothing and it became space. He said, let there be light. And the light conquered the darkness. Darkness is nothing. Darkness is an absence of light. It's nothing. God spoke and nothing became something. And light was released in the universe. Why am I telling you that? Because that's the God who made us a promise. Our promises and what we need are so small compared to the God who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and then rested on the seventh day. He wasn't tired. He was setting a model for us. We're the ones that need to rest on the seventh day, not him. He could have done it in one day. I don't believe God could make the earth in 6 days. Well, really? Guess what? God also created time. You know what he could have done? You ready to have your minds just blown? He could have created everything and then started time. And then he made everything in no time. Now figure that out. He's not subject to time. He's beyond time. He's the creator of the universe. He calls those things that are not as though they were. And then it changes and God can't lie because if God says something, even if it wasn't true, he's such a creative force that it became true when he said it. Gideon was hiding. Mighty man of valor. He's hiding. It might not have been true before he said it, but it was true after he said it. Yeah. Amen? Amen? We need to receive the promises of God by first recognizing who made us the promise. It wasn't some unfaithful person. It was a God who can call those things that aren't as though they are. Amen? He is sovereign and he's powerful. And that is the root and the basis and the foundation of our faith is in the sovereignty and the power of God. Number one. These are going to be fast. Get ready. I say this with me. I believe against all hope. Wow, that was lame. I hope your belief is stronger than your confession. Say it again. I believe against all hope. That's what Abraham did right here. That's what it says in the verse. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Whatever the situation is, the devil's going to try to rob your hope. He's going to give you a lot of reasons why you shouldn't believe. And against all hope, we need to, in hope, believe God. Amen? There was a hope against him, a natural hope. How many people know when you're 100, you're not having a kid? Right? Unless God says you are. Then you better paint the nursery. Because Junior's on the way. All the arguments of sense and reason and experience, which in such cases usually beget and support hope, were against him. All of the reasons that you usually find to believe, every reason he could look to, all pointed against hope. Is that crazy? But it didn't matter to him. He still hoped against all hope. You want to receive the promise? Hope against hope. It doesn't matter what anybody says, the facts say, people say. We're going to hope against hope because our faith is in a sovereign God. Number two, say this. Say, facts will not stop my faith. Say it again. Facts will not stop my faith. It says, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. His own body was now dead. So it was very unlikely that he was going to have a child, right? But it says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. He wasn't in denial of the fact. He faced the fact without weakening in his faith. Sometimes people get sick and they say, I'm not sick. I refuse to confess that. It's like, well, you have a virus in your body. That's a fact. No, I don't. That's not faith. That's denial. And then they get healed and they say, I was healed. I thought you weren't sick. Were you not sick or did you not get healed? I don't know what happened. You're confused for sure. Abraham recognized that his body was as good as dead, that his wife's womb was dead, that he had 99 years of history pointing to the fact that he could not have a kid. But he did not weaken in faith. He knew. He didn't deny it, but it didn't weaken his faith because he trusted God. Amen? It doesn't matter what the facts say. Don't be in denial. Okay, the doctor said I'm sick. I'm sick. My God is bigger than that. I'm getting healed. And then when you get healed, you can say, here's the record that the doctor gave me. All the facts were against me, but my God was for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? My God promised that he would heal me of all my diseases. Here's the record of the fact. My God is greater than your facts. Amen? Amen? Amen. When God intends some special blessing, maybe a child of promise for his people, he commonly puts a sentence of death upon the blessing. Did you hear that? And upon all the ways that lead to it. Here's a promise for you. Yes, now I'm going to kill it and I'm going to kill every possible way for you to make it happen. Why would he do that? So he can get the glory. So he can teach us to trust him. Want an example? Joseph. I had a dream. I was a king. I was a ruler. My mom and dad bowed down. My brothers bowed down. They all worshiped me. God said, no problem. Now your brothers beat you up and sold you into slavery in Egypt. That's what's up. I'm going to be the best slave in Potiphar's house ever. No problem. Now you're accused of rape and you're in prison. Great, now I'm in prison. Everybody forgot me. I'm no good here, but I'm the king of the prisoners. Woo! God shut down every natural way that man could do anything. And Joseph still believed. Joseph still believed. He did not waver in unbelief. He was not weakened in his faith. He wasn't denying the facts. He knew the facts. He lived in Egypt. He was in prison. He didn't deny the facts. He just trusted God greater than the facts. And no man was going to be the one that delivered Joseph from prison. It was going to be God who took him from there and God who put him second to Pharaoh. Amen? So some of the promises that God gave you, you're trying to figure out how to make it happen. And God is making sure that you don't make it happen, because the only way you can be approved is?
By faith.
Say by faith.
By faith.
Say this. Say without faith, it's impossible to please God. Anything that you can do for God without faith does not please him. It's a waste of time. Amen? All right, number three. Say this. I will not stagger through unbelief. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. He staggered not because he did not consider the discouragements. He disputed not. He didn't hold any self-consultation about it. He didn't take time to consider whether he should push through or not. He did not hesitate or stumble, but by a resolute act of his soul, with a holy boldness, he ventured all upon the promise. He did not say, hey, what do you think about it? God promised this to me, but it hasn't happened yet. And now I'm old. What do you think? Well, I don't think it's going to happen. Maybe you heard wrong, bro. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe that's not what God said. Yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking. I talked to my doctor. My doctor told me no way. I talked to my wife. She said, don't even think about it. 99 years old. Sarah's 90. And then on the day the power of God came on, and he texted her and said, I'm coming home from work early, baby. Put on the Victoria's Secret. And then he started heading home with that walker. And she was in the house being sexy, you know. You know that's how it happened, right? Only Jesus was miraculously conceived. Everybody else did it the regular way. He He may have staggered home, but he did not stagger in unbelief. You know, unbelief is at the bottom of all of our staggering at God's promises. It's not the promise that fails. It's our faith that fails when we stagger. It's when I wonder, or I worry, or I doubt, that I start to question. But Abraham said, I trust God. I'm going 100%. I'm going with him. Like it says in Hebrews, I'm going out, not knowing where I'm going. I'm going to follow him wherever he says. I'm going to do what he says to do. I'm going to go where he says to go. And I'm going to trust him 100% because I believe him. Amen? He developed a life of obedience and trusting God. That's what we need to do. Amen? You want the promise of God? Four of you do. Anybody else want the promise of God?
Yeah.
Let's believe him today.
Yeah.
Not someday. Today. Amen? And let's stop doubting. Amen?
Yeah.
Number four. Say, I will strengthen my faith. It says he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He was strengthened in faith. His faith got ground by exercise. The strength of his faith appeared in the victory that it won over his fears. Your faith has to win the battle against your fears. Your faith has to win against the battle of your fears. You have to stop listening to your fear, and you have to stop listening, and you have to start listening to your faith. You have to stop talking about your fears and start talking about your faith. You have to stop speaking in faith about your fears and start speaking in faith about your God. Amen? We have to stop letting our fears win the battle. Let's overcome our fears in faith. Amen? Amen? We have to strengthen our faith. Casey Treat, if you don't know who he is, he's a great preacher in the U.S. He's a friend of mine, a guy that I've known for a long time. And he's probably in his 60s. He's in his 60s. He's tall. He's real thin. And he's really fit. He does mountain climbing, mountain biking. He's just really into exercise and fitness. And one day he was preaching at a huge conference, and he's wearing a suit, and he says, faith is a muscle. You got to work it out. Faith is a muscle. You got to work it out. And he takes his microphone and he puts it on the ground, and he starts doing push-ups while he's preaching into the microphone, and his voice is going like this, so it's going louder and quieter. But he's doing push-ups while he's preaching, and he's not even breathing hard. And he's saying, I didn't just wake up today and decide to do push-ups for my sermon. I wake up every day and I do push-ups. That's why I can do push-ups today. You can't do push-ups and talk like this because you don't do push-ups every day. He said he did at least 50 push-ups while he's preaching without being out of breath. And then he stands up and he says, faith is a muscle. Start using it. Start exercising it. Strengthen your faith. In every battle, strengthen your faith. Get stronger. He said, then in the day that you need it, the day that the battle comes, you are prepared because you've been strengthening your faith. You've been trusting God for the smaller things. You've been trusting God daily. You stop talking to your fears and you start speaking to your faith. Amen?
Amen.
And then we're going to get stronger and stronger. Amen?
Yes.
Are you in a trial right now? Use your faith. Are you in a trial right now? Strengthen your faith. If you're in a trial right now, it's building your faith so you can receive the promise. Stop crying. It's like going to the gym and then picking up a weight and then going, it hurts. It's so painful to me. Oh, my muscles sore. Then don't do it. Just leave, crybaby. You don't see people doing that in the gym, right? They know there's going to be pain. No pain, no gain. They look forward to the pain because they're trying to get stronger. We need to stop crying about our life and our spirituality. We need to grab a hold of things by faith and work them out. And we need to say, hey, this might be heavy today, but a year from now, this is going to be nothing to me because I'm building my faith. Amen? And I trust God. Amen?
Amen.
Number five. Did I tell you there's four? I lied. I didn't lie, I was incorrect. I stand corrected by myself. Number five, say this, I am fully persuaded.
I am fully persuaded.
Come on, this is the last one. Say, I'm fully persuaded.
I am fully persuaded.
It says he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, check this out, he was able to perform. Did you get that? His faith is in God. His faith is not in faith. His faith is in God. The reason that they were able to receive a good report or a testimony from God is because when God told them, they believed it. Man, I don't know if I could do that, but if God says I can do it, I believe him. Amen? Amen? Say, I'm fully persuaded. I'm going to close on this thought. The word is, I'm not even going to try to say it. It's a big old long Greek word. It's a metaphor, and this word means to bring in full measure or to fulfill. That word perform, right? Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, say promised.
Promise.
Say he was able to perform. What God promises, he can perform. This word perform means to fulfill or to bring in full. Let me tell you why that's important. Because this Greek word is taken from the ships that came into the harbor with a full sail. It's talking about in this time when they were taking a ship full of cargo, oftentimes they hit rough seas. When they had rough seas, you had to throw off some of the cargo. Hopefully, you don't have to throw off that much. Sometimes you lose all the cargo. This word, God who promised is able to perform, means the God who promised brings the ship in full. We are the people receiving the promise. It's like standing in the harbor. You own the ship. The ship is bringing the promise of God. And you know the God who promised is able to bring in everything he promised full to fulfill the order, the full deal, every single thing without losing anything, because the God who promised is able to perform, is able to fulfill the promise. We need to be people who are standing there in the harbor of faith, watching and expecting the promise of God. Not some of it, not wishing. This is not a wishing well. Trusting in the God who was able to promise it, he's able to do it. And I'm expecting the whole thing. Not some of it, not a little bit of it. My God promised that I'm getting it all. How many of you want your kids to be saved? You want your parents to be saved? You want your friends to be saved? You want your other family to be saved? Amen? Schoolmates, people you work with, you want them to be saved? Guess what? God wants them to be saved. You get that promise from God and start celebrating right now. Don't wait. If you're waiting to be healed, just trust the promises of God. Stop worrying. Stop complaining. I know that sometimes being sick can be frustrating. Sometimes there's pain associated with it. It's difficult. Put your faith in God. Do not stagger through unbelief. Believe that he is faithful and stand there expecting to see your healing, expecting to see your deliverance. Amen? Whatever God promised you, he's able to fulfill it. That's important. You know why? Because God is faithful. God is faithful. And if we will trust him, we will receive everything he promised. Come on, let's be standing. I want to read a couple verses over you. Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Someone say amen. Hey, I'm not talking about somebody in the Bible. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about your life, what you're facing right now. With man it might be impossible, but with God. Somebody say by faith.
By faith.
But with God, somebody say by faith.
By faith.
All things are possible. Amen. Listen to this. Mark 9:23. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Acts 3:16. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It's Jesus's name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you see. Deuteronomy 10:21. He is the one you praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Luke 18:27. What is impossible with man is possible with God. Matthew 17:20. Because you have such little faith, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Job chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. But if I were you, I would appeal to God. I would lay my cause before him. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed and miracles that cannot be counted. That's the God that we serve. This is not some things written in a book. There are things written to you. These things are written to me. We can receive this testimony from God now. God is giving this testimony of you now. And you can receive the good report today by faith and be approved by God. And we can start to celebrate now. Stop worrying about those things with your kids or your bills or your health or your country or the problems in your business. Stop worrying about those things. Receive by faith the promises of God and then structure your whole life by faith. Noah, he was approved by God by faith. No, he was approved because he built the boat. No, he wasn't. He was approved because he believed God. Noah, yeah, Lord. I need you to build a boat. All right. How big? Really big. Okay, where are we going to build it? Right here. There's no lake. There's no ocean. You want me to build a really big boat right here? Yep. Why? Well, it's going to rain. What's rain? It had never rained before. What's rain? God says, well, I'm going to open up the floodgates in the sky. A whole bunch of water is going to fall from the sky. It's going to flood the whole earth. It's going to kill everybody. I need you to build a boat. Okay. What do you want me to build? What kind of wood do you want me to use? He believed God. He was approved because he believed him. He wasn't approved because he did it. He did it because he believed him. You got to get that. It's not a play on words. This is not a trick. This is some preaching thing. This is how it happened. Noah, I need you to do this. Okay, God, I'll do it. And God said, man, I approve of you. You're faithful. You know that? You're a man of faith. You're going to save your whole family. You're saving some people on the face of the earth. I'm really proud of you, Noah. You really did. He said, I didn't do anything yet. You believe me. And I saw the end when you believed. God's looking right now. Maybe the end hasn't been so good because we haven't believed. Right now, God's giving you a testimony. If we can believe like that, and then you know what happened to Noah? When God said, I saw you, you did it. I'm so proud of you. Noah's like, well, I'm doing it for sure now. How could he not? He believed in faith. How can I not do what God called me to do? I believe what he said. He told me he saw the end. I'm going to make sure I do it. We think we're doing things to prove our faith, or we're doing things to get approval from God. But it's by faith that we're approved, and it's by faith that we carry out the acts, that we do what he said. We got it backwards. You can be approved today. You know, when we get to heaven, what do we want to hear? Well done, good and faithful servant. I want to hear that. You can hear it today. You don't have to wait till heaven. You can believe God today. Change your mind today. Restructure your mind today. Restructure your words today. Restructure your life today by faith. And the Lord, you'll hear him tell you, well done, good and faithful servant. I saw what you did. What I'm going to do, did. I saw what you did. And God can give a testimony of you now. Come on, let's pray. I want you to get this in your spirit. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, for every person here, help us to catch this, Lord, not just in our mind, but in our spirit. Help us catch this seed of your word in our spirit. Come on, get it in your heart right now, guys. Get it in your heart. That if you believe God, you can receive his promise now. Receive it now. Receive it now. Receive it right now. Receive it right now. No more fear in Jesus' name. Receive it right now. If the devil reminds you of facts, tell the devil, I'll write those down. It'll be a part of my testimony. No problem. I'm still believing. I'm still believing because my God calls those things that are not as though they are. I trust my God more than anything that I see. I'm not going to consult with the devil. I'm not going to consult with my fears. I'm not going to consult with my peers. I'm going to consult with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to consult with the Word of God. And by faith, I'm going to receive a good testimony. By faith, come on, I speak that over your life right now. That faith is increasing in your heart. It's increasing in your soul. You're changing the way that you're thinking right now in the name of Jesus. You have just become unstoppable by faith in the name of Jesus. Everyone in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 did everything that they did that was great for God, because it was by faith that they received a good testimony. That's how they did it. That's how we do it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for each person here. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the promises that are getting picked back up in Jesus' name. Come on, we're starting to believe again. Starting to believe again. Come on. Dare to believe by faith, by faith, by faith. You were created for faith. You were created for faith. You were created for faith. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, just for a moment. If you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus before, we want to give you a chance to do that. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. It also says the wages of sin is death, which means if you die without Jesus, you will spend an eternity separated from him in a place called hell. And you might be thinking, why would a loving God want to send me to hell? He doesn't want to send you to hell. He loves you so much that he sent his only son, Jesus. That's why the Bible says that God commanded his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died on the cross for us. That's why Jesus came. That's why he lived on this planet and never sinned, so that he could pay our price. He's the only one without sin. We needed him to do it for us. A guilty person cannot pay the price for another guilty person. Jesus is the only one who's innocent. Death was the penalty for our sin, and Jesus paid that price for us. That's why he gave himself. They took him and stripped him of his clothes, strapped him to a post. They beat him with a Roman whip, ripped his flesh from his body. He could have made it stop, but he endured it because of his love for you and for me. And Isaiah 53 says, by his stripes we are healed. After that, they put the cross on his back. He carried it to Calvary. They stretched him out and put nails in his hands and his feet. That's what you and I deserve because of our sin, but he did it for us. And they raised him up, and he hung there on that cross for 6 hours. And then he said, it is finished. And he died. What was finished? The price for our sin was paid. It was finished. He died. They put him in a tomb. On the third day, he was raised from the dead. And Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you believe that in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, you will be saved. What does that mean? It means when I die, I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. But it also means that Jesus will come and live inside of you today, and you can be forgiven of all of your sins today. All of your guilt and shame can be taken away, and you can start living a new life for Jesus right now. So if that's you, and you've never given your life to Jesus before, and you want to be saved today, you want to be forgiven for your sins, I want you to raise your hand on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Raise your hand right where you're at right now. Amen, 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 amen. Awesome. Yes. Come on, somebody praise the Lord. That is awesome. Anybody else you need to give your life to Jesus? Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Anybody else? Anybody else? I see you right there. Anybody else? All right. For those that raise your hand, I just want to ask you if you would do me a huge favor. If you would just... And you don't have to come by yourself. You can come with a friend if you want. Please just come to the front. I want to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to embarrass you or have you speak in the microphone or anything. I just want to pray for you. So if you raise your hand to give your life to the Lord, please meet me here in the front so I can pray for you. Come on down, guys. Give them a hand, guys, as they come. Come on, don't be scared. Come on down here. I'm coming down. Come on, praise the Lord as they come. That's so awesome. So excited to pray with you guys. Man, this is a great day. Isn't this a great day when people give their lives to Jesus? I'm so thankful for you guys. I want to lead you in a prayer, okay? Just repeat after me out loud. I want to invite everyone else to pray with us. And if you didn't come down, maybe you didn't raise your hand, or maybe you were nervous, but you want to receive Jesus. When we say this prayer together, say it really believing in your heart, and Jesus will come and live inside of you. You'll be forgiven of your sins. But I want to ask you this. Please don't leave without talking to someone and telling them that you said that prayer for the first time. And the reason I say that is because you can't make it on your own. None of us can make it on our own. We need each other. We need the family of God. And here we need to help each other. And we want to help you to make it, okay? Come on, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Please forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. I love you. I'm going to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father, I just pray now for these men and women that you would touch them and bless them. Pour out your favor on their lives, Lord. Touch their souls. Bring healing to them in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your incredible grace, your incredible love. Bless your children that they would know that they are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and that today, even by faith, that they are accepted as your dear children. Thank you for your word that says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation, that old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give praise to the Lord.